to do, lift your Bibles or your electronic devices high in the air. Let's say our Bible affirmation together. Now, I really want you to grab this one this morning because we want God to open our hearts to what's breaking his heart. We want our hearts to open to the things that God is saying this morning. So let's say this with conviction. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Yeah, Father God, right now I pray that you just begin to set purposes in motion, set dreams, Lord, release visions for more in this house, Father God. Have your way today. All right, let's read John 3:16. I believe God's going to change the direction of some of your lives today through this message. As a matter of fact, I think God's going to give you such a big vision that you're going to be overwhelmed by what God wants to do through you. John 3:16 through 17, let's read this together. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries, the words will appear on your screen. And I forgot, for our visitors today, first-time visitors, welcome to our church. We're so glad you're here. At the end of service, we actually have a gift for you. We want to give you a free T-shirt, that beautiful blue T-shirt she's got on called Rooted. Can you stand up for me, Doralise, be my model? She says, of course I'll model for you, Pastor. Yes, we've got those free T-shirts for you. All you got to do is visit Guest Central at the front and make sure you turn in that connection card and have it filled out completely. We'll make sure you get one of those at the end of service, and it's absolutely free. All right, John 3:16, you guys ready? All right, let's read. I'll be reading from New King James Version. If you don't have that version, don't worry about it. The words are up on the screen for you. Here we go. Ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And Matthew 28:19-20. Ready? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Father, I thank you for this message today. I thank you, Lord, for your heart this Christmas is way bigger than our own families, our own friends, but your heart is for this entire world and for the nations. I pray, Father, that you would give us your heart this morning. Holy Spirit, move me aside. Come in and teach a word that is living and active, life-giving. I pray that you would change destinies, that you would shape visions, that you would shape dreams, that you would release a word that would alter our destiny so that we fall in line with your kingdom-building purposes. In Jesus' mighty name, we all pray. Everybody said, amen and amen, amen. So God's heart for Christmas, and if we look at John 3:16, I want to just start right there really quickly. It says, for God so loved the world. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think about the world. As a matter of fact, I'm lucky if I think about outside of my household. Because how many of you on a day-to-day basis really got time to be thinking about what's happening in the world? As a matter of fact, we stop watching the news because we get so frustrated with everything that we see happening just here in the United States, let alone what's happening globally. And in America, unfortunately, we are not a global country, because America, if you ever turned on your news, the news is all about what's happening locally to you and what may be happening on a national level. You might get 2 seconds of what's happening in the world. There are riots that are happening worldwide. There are people that are raising up and they're having their shootings and their violence. There are all kinds of things that are happening worldwide, but on our local news, you won't see any of that. Some of y'all don't even know there was an important election that just happened in Europe. And most people are like, who cares? Who got elected? We don't even know they had elections. But that election is determining the person that's going to help move Britain away from the European Union. And that's a huge thing that impacts all of us globally. But we don't care about those things. Why? Because we want to know, how does it impact us? As a matter of fact, when I'm talking about this right now, most of y'all are like, I don't care. I really don't care. But God did not send his Son into the world just for you. He didn't send his Son. And most people say, well, if there was nobody else in the world, God would have sent his Son, Jesus. You could say that, but that ain't what the Bible says. Just so you know, the Bible says God so loved the entire world. So he sent his son to die for the entire world. And yet we make the gospel about just us. And it's so hard because the American culture is so very focused on me and my. We are an individual culture. We are not a community-based culture. This is the reason why you can have Christmas and get on a boat by yourself and be completely content. As a matter of fact, some of y'all wish that's how you were spending your Christmas today. Instead of with your crazy auntie them. Some of y'all know who you're talking about. Crazy auntie, crazy uncle Skeeter. Look, some of y'all are crazy aunties and crazy uncle Skeeters. You the one people running from at Christmas time. But we are so consumed with our individual cultures and our individual families and our individual circles of influence that we do not realize that there is a community that's global, that's beyond us, that's bigger than us. And God wants to stretch that vision today. And last week we started talking about, and I took you from Genesis to Revelations to show you how God has always been concerned for the nations. And when we talked about the nations, we talked about the fact that word nation is not just a geopolitical thing. It's not just like the United Nations or the United States or France. That word nations is translated ethno in the Hebrew, which is where we get the term ethnic groups. And it means people who are of like and common language and common culture and common environments. And so ethnos and God being concerned about ethnos is God was concerned about everybody from every tribe and every nation and every language. And what we have to be careful of is that we just don't want to see people get saved who look like us, talk like us, and live like us. Because the world is so much bigger than that. And so last week I started in Genesis. I'm not going to take you because I probably had about 50 different scriptures. And that was just scratching the surface to prove to you. But I'm going to go back to the first time we see it, which is Genesis chapter 12. And I'm going to take you to the last time in just a second. But Genesis 12:1, God shows up to Abram and he gives him a promise. As he says, get out of your country from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will make you a great nation. You got to catch that. He's saying, Abraham, I want to do more than just bless you. I want to take you and turn you into a huge ethnos of people that's going to impact this world. With this, by the way, this promise that was given to Abram is the same promise God gives to you. God wants to make you a great nation. This is the reason why Genesis 1:28, when he starts off and he says, be fruitful and multiply, have dominion over the earth. What he's saying is I want to bless you and I want you to multiply in such a way that a great nation comes out of you. This is the reason why the enemy is after your children. Yet nobody wants to talk about that. Because if the enemy can get your children, then he stops the great nation that's supposed to happen through you. But if the enemy, watch this, if the enemy if we can thwart the works of the enemy and keep him from taking our children, then we can begin to build up powerful nations of people who love Jesus Christ, who are telling others about the gospel, who are prospering, who are expanding the territory of the kingdom of God, who are doing the work of Jesus Christ. But Satan don't want to see your kids get saved. Satan don't want to see your kids surrender their hearts to Jesus Christ. Satan doesn't want to see your kids love on Jesus and say, yes, Jesus, I'll go wherever you send me. Why? Because if they will not do that, then the great nation that's been promised to you will stop. This is the reason why you went through hell growing up. Because if God could stop you, he could stop the great nation that's supposed to come in your lineage. So God makes a promise to Abram. Oh, by the way, for those of you who are struggling with your children during this holiday season, don't get mad at them. Get mad at the enemy who's trying to take them out. And start praying for them and fighting for them in prayer and telling the devil, you will not have my child. Some of y'all looking at your children and say, I know this ain't what I birthed. They was not like this before. Something happened. What happened is the enemy is trying to attack, and the enemy is trying to steal, and the enemy is trying to kill and destroy. And prayer is the most effective tool you have. This is a bonus because this wasn't in my message. If you got a child that's going crazy, here's what you need to do. You need to get on your knees and say, Jesus, what's going on with them? Because you made them. I mean, I live with them every day, but you're the one who made them. So tell me what's happening. And let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit will show you what's wrong with your child. And he'll tell you how to minister to them and how to love them and how to care for them. And the Holy Spirit might do something so crazy to say, just go take them out to a movie one-on-one. And you don't know how that changes everything in their future. Now they're ready to talk to you. They're ready to open up. They're ready to spend time with you. Some of you got family members that you are not connecting with. Look, the reason you're not connecting is because there's a great nation that's supposed to come through you. So you need to pray this Christmas. I know you don't like Uncle Skeeter, but pray, Lord, show me how to connect with Uncle Skeeter this Christmas. The Lord might tell you to just sit there and listen to them stories. Come on, Jesus. It's been like 50 years I didn't heard them stories. Same stories every year at Christmas. And the Lord say, listen to them again. Why? Because he wants to make you a great nation. So I want to go back to that. He says, I will make you a great nation. This is God talking to Abram. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. So the first part of the blessing was personal. So I don't want you to think that God don't want to do stuff for you personally. But here's why he wants to do stuff for you personally. Verse 3, because I will bless those, he says, who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God says, if I can bless you and you can be taken care of, you can turn your eyes outside of looking at yourself and start looking at something bigger. Do you not know that this is the reason why God is like, I gotta bless you. I have to make you healthy. I have to take care of your finances. Because if I can do that in your life, then you'll stop worrying about you. And then you'll start looking at something bigger and wanting to do something bigger. But the problem is God can't do that because you're so focused on you and your problems, and it's so hard and it's so difficult. And he tells us in Matthew 6:33 that if you will seek first his kingdom and seek first his righteousness, then all this other stuff will be added unto you. So the challenge is just know this. It's not that God don't want to take care of you. It's that God can't take care of you when you're trying to take care of you. If you take care of God's business, God will take care of your business. Some of y'all are like, what this got to do with Christmas? Do you know that's exactly what he did at Christmas? He said, I'm going to take care of your sin business so you can take care of my business. I'm going to send my son, Jesus, into the earth to die for you so that you don't have to worry about your sin no more. Some of us, we can't get a global vision because we so stuck in how we keep messing up. You know what? You need to know Jesus Christ was born in a manger, came, lived 33 years, and died so you can stop worrying about what you did wrong. Oh, nobody wanted to say amen to that. If you have messed up, this is what Christmas is about. If I have messed up, I praise God that I've messed up. But God has sent his son, Jesus Christ, to cover my mess up, to pay the penalty for my mess up, so I don't have to live walking around depressed and sad with my head hanging down because I screwed this up. Shut up. That's what the baby Jesus came for. He came to die for your sins so you don't have to walk around in guilt. And now let's say, move on. Let's be about his father's business. This Christmas, if you are sitting there beating yourself up over something you did wrong, that's what the manger is about. When we say, oh, come, let us adore him, that's why I adore him. That's why I want to come and worship him. That's why I want to come and lift my hands and give him praise, because he has done so much for me, because he has watched over me, because he took care of my mess. He took care of those places that I did, those things that I did that were wrong, that I shouldn't have done. He took care of all of that. And so because of that, I worship him. And I say, here I am. Send me. Do whatever you want to do. Take my life, because you already took care of my situations. Could it be that the reason we keep struggling is because we keep focusing on us and not focusing on seeking first his kingdom, his global kingdom, and his righteousness? And God is like, man, if I can get some people concerned about my business, we can start doing some stuff here. then I wanted to show you. I took you in Genesis, and then I wanted to take you. We did it throughout all of the Bible, but we ended in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. Because this is where all of creation is heading. This is where, from the beginning of time till now, until the future, until Jesus comes back, this is what we're headed toward. Revelation 7, 9, and 10 says this: "After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all tribes, all nations, all peoples and tongues." Does that sound not the ethnos, the nations we're talking about? "Standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and they're crying with a loud voice." What are they doing? They're worshiping, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All of creation is heading towards what God's heart is for Christmas, that every tribe, every nation, every language, every tongue is standing before the throne in worship before God. And we pray a prayer, often it's called the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven." There's a line of it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," you know the rest, "on as it is in." We are praying that this future promise happens here on earth, that all tribes, a great multitude of all nations and peoples and tongues can come together right here in our culture, right here in our time, right here in our day, and worship the Lord together. Look, it is not an accident that this is a multi-ethnic church. This was planned from the beginning. We tried to make sure that our leadership team, look, I've been to multi-ethnic churches where everybody was one ethnic group in leadership, and I said, that don't look multi-ethnic to me. Nobody want to say amen, because I don't have time to do a diversity and inclusion conversation today. But let me just break this down for you. If you're really going to be, if you really look at what God is doing, he's saying, look, if you're going to include people, you're going to have to include them from the top all the way to the bottom. Because if the top is of one ethnos, if the top is of one language, if the top is of one culture, the problem is the people who are below that, who do not have that same ethnos and culture and tribe and tongue, they're not represented. You're missing. Look, let me tell you something. Black people express themselves different than Asian people, and Asian people express themselves different than Hispanic people, and Hispanic people express themselves different than Caucasian people, and everybody expresses themselves different, and none of it's wrong. But if you only see it done one way, you think something's wrong with you. And God's saying, my kingdom is not like that. I made all these people who look different. And I made them who speak different. And I made them who express themselves different. Because that is all an expression of who I am as Almighty God. Because you were all made in my image and in my likeness. So in this church, we were very intentional about making sure that we had people of all different ethnic groups, as many as we could find in this church, represented in this church. Now, I'm going to prove it to you. Now, watch this. If you have been ordained as a deacon or leader or a leader in training in this church, I want you to come up here because I want people to see how we have different ethnic groups. You've been ordained. Come on. You've been ordained as a deacon, a pastor, or you are currently in leadership training in this group. Now, there are women. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. But there are not just women, because this is a female-led pastor church. There are men of God who are standing in this church in leadership. Do you see the different ethnic groups? Don't nobody look just the same? I didn't know Jewel was black for years. She's Puerto Rican and black. And she was like, Pastor, I'm black. I was like, no, you're not. My kids, I kid you not, it was about 3 years ago. My kids were like, Miss Jen is black? Yes, Miss Jen is black. I don't know what your ethnicity is. Where are you originally from? Filipino, Hawaiian, and Irish, Miss Donna. How about you, Miss Anna Maria? Why you gotta say it like something wrong with it? I'm Mexican. Mexican, okay. She said, what? You're not black. No, she's not. Yeah, people thought, well, just my brother thought Lydia was black for years. Okay, we gonna assume what you are. How about you? What's your ethnic background? Native American and Caucasian. All right. You're Puerto Rican and mixed up. Nebraskian. German and Norwegian. Mexican. Puerto Rican and Chinese. Can you see the ethnos represented here? Give them a round of applause. Thank you, guys. I love that. But that's just for our local church. And we are living in a community of people. As I look around, I know there are people who are that are of different ethnos than even what you saw up here. As we look in our community today, especially here in San Jose, let me tell you something. San Jose is such a powerful place for the kingdom of God to be spread and for all ethnos and ethnicities to come to know Jesus. This place is so diverse, it is unbelievable. We have about 1 million people here in San Jose. And in particular, what's interesting is Santa Clara County is named one of the fastest growing counties in California. And most of that growth is because of the tech workers. And according to the most recent surveys that were done, the racial composition of San Jose is 40% is considered white, 34% Asian, 15% other races, 5% two or more races, 3% black, less than 1% Native American, and 0.4% Hawaiian or Pacific Islander. There are a lot of different ethnicities just here in San Jose. And if you're saying, look, you know what, Pastor? Because this is what I told Jesus. I said, look, I ain't going nowhere that ain't got no electricity and tell people about Jesus. Don't be sending me to no foreign place. And the Lord, I know the Lord's going to come back and laugh in my face about that one day. I know he is. But what the Lord told me first was, he said, just look around you. There are people all around us of all different ethnicities that we can share the gospel with right here this Christmas. What better time than at Christmas? Everybody keeps telling me happy holidays. You know what I tell them? Merry Christmas. Merry, yeah. I'm still ethnos, that's my language. Slightly Ebonics is my language. I speak two languages, English and Ebonics. That's not right. But anyway. But watch this. It is an opportunity for you to open a door in a little gentle way for Jesus. Just ask people when they say happy holidays, what do you plan to do? Do you know what Christmas is about? What do you celebrate for Christmas? Start a conversation during this time, because God's heart was not just for you to go buy toys for people that you know. God's heart was for what happened yesterday. Over 40 people coming to know Jesus Christ. We had people who were here of all different ethnic groups who were saying, I'm hurting, and they got prayer. There wasn't just one ethnic group saying, hey, come pray for me. It was people of different tongues, people of different languages, people we couldn't even understand very well, but that's okay, because what we could do was we could pray for God to move in your situation. We could pray for you to know him as Lord and Savior. We could pray for chains to be broken and for deliverance to happen. All of that's happening. Look, don't ever think that we just show up here to give you a toy, because that's what you're supposed to do. Our encounter room was specifically designed so that people would walk in and ask and say, you know what? Somebody cares enough to pray for me. Please pray. And we put prayer warriors in there. Why? Because this is what Christmas is about. If you see somebody going through something around you for Christmas, don't just tell them, I'll pray for you and walk away. Tell them, can I pray for you right now? And some of you are like, oh, I ain't never prayed in public before. Then try it. Here's the thing about prayer. Here's the cool part about prayer. Watch this. It's really just you and God talking. The other person just standing there listening in. And God don't have a formula for prayer. There are things that we can do and we can tell you, hey, you may want to consider praying about this, but there ain't no formula. All you got to do, if somebody comes to you and say, hey, you know what, I'm about to, you know, man, my family is just going through it. You know, how, is there? Can I pray for you right now? They might be, I have yet, in all my years of living, which we're going to say have been a few, in all my years of living, have yet, when I've asked someone, can I pray for them, have they ever told me no? They have never, ever told me no. When you go out to eat this Christmas, because I know you don't feel like cooking every day of this break. When you go out to eat and you sit there and your server comes, ask them, how can I pray for you? They're going to look at you like, huh? But you know what? It's not something everybody asks. Ask them, how can I pray? And they're going to say, they might say something like, well, you know, just pray for my family. But I've had servers break down and be like, you know what? My child is going through it. I don't have money for this and blah, blah. And the Holy Spirit will say, bless them right now because this is kingdom work. This is my heart for Christmas. You got that extra $50 somebody gave you, and then you go out to dinner, and your server tells you they don't have nothing to give their child. You didn't get that extra $50 for you. You got it to be a blessing to someone else. That's God's heart for Christmas. And don't sit there and look at them because they look, you know, I only want the best people who look like me. Uh-uh. As a matter of fact, I want you to find somebody who don't look like you, who even don't even speak the same language as you, and challenge yourself. Say, I am going to bless somebody, and not just with my giving financially, but I'm going to bless them with my prayers, and I'm going to bless them by telling them about Jesus this Christmas. And if some of you are like, I don't know how to do that, or hey, I like that, but I want to go above and beyond, guess what? Christmas Eve, you can come here at 9 o'clock in the morning, because Eliana is going to take a crew, and they're going to go out, and they're going to share the gospel with homeless folks. Now, that's another ethnos, by the way, because their culture together is that they're homeless. It's not even that they're a certain ethnic group. It's that culturally they have a whole way of living that we don't understand. And we get a chance to go out and tell them how much Jesus loves them. Many of the people who are homeless not by choice. It's not like they like, hey, I like living on the streets. Many people who are homeless in San Jose go to work every day. Just housing is too much. Then you also have your homeless people who are having mental illnesses. And some of us get afraid of people with mental illness. But you know what? When Jesus was casting all them demons out, you know what? That was like mental illness. People was over there like, he's scratching himself. We call them cutters today. It was the same thing. And here's what you got to know. Jesus saved you so that you could go out and you can help somebody else come to know him as Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what your salvation is about. Your salvation ain't just about so you can be like, okay, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. No, somebody has to hear this gospel. Somebody has to know. Don't be that dude or that girl that hem you up on the corner. And, you know, you seen them people like, you need Jesus now. You got to get Jesus now. I need you to get Jesus now. If you don't get Jesus, you're going to hell. Don't nobody want to hear that. Just tell them what he's done for you. Just ask them what's going on in their life. Just pray for them right where they are. I tell people my testimony quite a bit. You know, and the ones that end up hitting people the most are the ones that were the most difficult things I got through. Tell them what you've been through. Make it short. Some of y'all be talking too long. Make it short. Tell them. You know what? Yesterday, all I did was I told my testimony. And I did it for little kids. I have one that I tell for little kids. I have one I tell for older people. But the one for little kids always gets them because there are a lot of children that are hurting. And I tell them about how my father was an alcoholic who used to beat my mother. And I did this, I believe I did this at Holyoke. We did that testimony, and so many of the kids start opening up about what was happening at home, about how mom and dad are fighting, about how they're divorced, how I don't see them. You know what? We think they're children and everything's cool. No, these kids are going through stuff. When you see a child this Christmas acting up around you, point, they going through something. Talk to them. Tell them what you went through as a kid and how God brought you out. So that they know, even as children, that God has something greater. I think about the fact that at 7 years old when I went through something, my mom, I'm grateful it was my mom, but had my mom not talked to me about Jesus, had I not gave my life to Jesus at 7 years old, I think about all the thousands of people throughout my life from 7 to 45 that have come to know Jesus Christ because my mother took the time to tell me about Jesus. There is a child that if you tell them about Jesus, there are going to be thousands and thousands and thousands of people that will come to Jesus through them. So don't look at them and be like, ah. No, they need it too. All right, here's how you can help this Christmas, and I'm done. Number one, you can be what we call a mobilizer. A mobilizer. These are people who empower others with global vision, passion, and strategy by helping them personally get connected to find their most strategic role in the Great Commission. If you are a person that can see things in people and know how to help people, look around and be like, you know what? I think maybe you could serve God in this way. That's a mobilizer because that helps the kingdom of God. There are many of your leaders in this church that have that gift. If you don't know where you're supposed to serve, if you don't know how you can serve, just pray and seek the Lord. Ask God every day for an encounter, and I pray that God will send people to you who will mobilize you and help you to know where you can go. Here's the next thing. You can just be an intercessor. You know what an intercessor is? Someone who stands in the gap for other people. Someone who takes the burden of praying for unreached people groups and for the laborers to go out and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can be an intercessor. How can you be an intercessor? January 1st through the 21st, we're having our 21 days of prayer and fasting. I ask you over the next 10 days to seek God about your time of fasting and praying because I believe that God is going to send people globally to this group of people who are involved in praying for those 21 days, and we're going to have a chance to pray with people from around the world. The last time we did this, we had 117 people sign up. 43 were from different countries. Around the world, one of which was a closed country, UAE, and I had no idea at the time that that was a closed country because I wasn't thinking big enough, and I was thinking, man, later, what if we could touch that one person who's now been going behind closed doors and telling other folks about Jesus, and you know what? I didn't have to get out of here and get on a plane and fly somewhere to do it. All I had to do was say, I'm going to join in with the work that God's doing in my church, and I'm going to be an intercessor, and I'm going to pray for 21 days for God to open the door. And I'm going to stop eating cake. You could be a welcomer. A welcomer is someone who welcomes people of a different culture into the relationship with Jesus Christ. In other words, you can be a person who's hospitable to folks who don't look like you. This is all how you get mobilized to go tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You could also be the person who is like, you know what, God, here I am, wherever you want me to go. Send me. Now, some of y'all, that's a bold prayer. Some of y'all ain't ready for that. If you ain't ready, don't pray nothing you ain't ready for. But some of y'all have had a heart for other nations, and you've been wanting to go for a long time. Just tell the Lord, here I am, send me. You're like, but I don't have the money. I don't know where to go. I don't know no missions opportunities. God will show you. And here's the last thing I want you to do. Start praying for yourself that God would give you a bigger vision this year. A vision for something bigger than you. And trust that as you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, that all your needs will be met. He'll add them all back to you. Come on, stand to your feet. So I'm issuing you a challenge for this week first. My first challenge to you is look for the encounters. Look for those opportunities where you can tell somebody about Jesus this week. And look for them in people who don't look like you. The second challenge I have for you is we're going to be sending out an email today or tomorrow, if I get it done today and not, it'll go tomorrow, where you can sign up for the 21-day challenge. If we don't have your email address, make sure you put it on that contact card and you can turn it in at the end of service. You can just take it to Guest Central and we'll make sure that you get signed up. And we're going to send you a survey that's just going to ask you your city, your state, your country. And the reason we're doing that is because we're believing God's sending people from all over the world. And you're going to get a download of an ebook. That ebook is the book that many of you purchased last week. By the way, that book will be available on next Sunday. So I wrote a book for the 21 Days of Prayer. It's called The Breakthrough Challenge. And that book will come out. It'll be published and printed and ready for next Sunday. So if you already pre-purchased a book, it will be ready for you next Sunday. If you pre-purchase a journal, we still praying that The Rock will get them to us in time for next week. But if not, you'll definitely get them at the first of the year. If you'd like to purchase a book, now some of y'all, like, you're going to get the ebook, so you're going to get the same content. But if you like me, I like stuff to hold in my hand when I read and I'm praying and I'm working through stuff. If you want to purchase that book, you can see where are you. You can see Pastor Jewel, and those books are $10. And the journals are also $10. So for $20, you can get a book and a journal, or $10 each, whatever you want to do. And by the way, the journals are the OSL journals, but they are the most, they're the 2020 version. So you're going to get the most up-to-date 2020 journals with the SOAP method, scripture, observation, application, prayer, that will help you with your praying. All right, what do I want you to do? Get a heart for the nations. That's it. That's all I want you to do. Let's pray. If you're here today and you're like, you know what? God, expand my vision. I just want you to lift your hands. I want to pray for you wherever you are. Give me a vision for something bigger than myself. Help me to see globally. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar. I just want you to pray. I want to pray for you right where you are. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person with their hand lifted. God, we stretch our hands to you saying, God, we need something bigger. Lord, we understand that your heart is for the nations. All throughout scripture, you talk about how you want to bless the nations and how you've sent Jesus for the nations and how you've called us so that all the families of the earth will be blessed. Lord, I believe that you have sent us here for such a time as this. You have a kingdom building purpose that will cause us to stretch out the borders of your kingdom, that will cause us to expand the kingdom of God with people of all ethnos, all tribes, all nations, all languages. Father, show us where you're working and show us where you want us to be involved. Lord, speak to us. Father, give us dreams, give us visions, give us revelations. Speak to us in your word. And I declare that God encounters are happening to us this week. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give us opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone who does not look like us and who doesn't speak our same language, our tribe, or even come from the same culture. Father, move in us and through us this week. Fill us with your spirit. And Lord, as we move out of 2019 and we get ready to move into a brand new decade, may we move into a whole new decade and season of how we serve you. May we move into a way of thinking globally and bigger for the kingdom of God and not just about ourselves. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the global reach of this church. I thank you for the global reach of the people in this church. I thank you, God, that it's not just little old us, that we do not despise the day of small beginnings, but that God, in you, we will reach people through of all nations, of all ethnic groups who will worship you and give you praise. Now, Father, we stand and we bless your holy name and we say thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to have your heart for the kingdom this Christmas. In Jesus' mighty name, come on, everybody, begin to bless the Lord right now. If you believe that God's going to speak to you and give you visions and dreams, just begin to give him a hand praise just to say, yes, Lord, I receive it. I thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, I hope you go out and you have an amazing Christmas. Merry Christmas.